It's time to start buying.
How are we gonna restore 15 to 20 million jobs? I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we are broadcasting in the Philadelphia area, which includes southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And I want to say thank you to all of the listeners that let me know that they tune into our broadcast, and thank you especially for spreading the word. If you received an announcement this morning about today's broadcast, send it out to family members and friends. And as always, we will have a rebroadcast link up on the front page of American Workers Radio a little later on this afternoon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of things are happening, and boy, oh boy, 2019's theme is absolutely working. And that the theme is working together for the best interests of America and American workers. I'd like to take this opportunity to first say thanks to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store. He is celebrating his 9th anniversary this year. And he has, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But also thanks to Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, Principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, Curtis Ellis, who is out again today promoting the America First Project. He is an advisor on a national level. He's assisting President Trump, and they're doing a lot to make sure that America First projects and jobs for Americans are always on the top of the list. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash, always honored to be here with you, and thank you for spreading the word. I know that we have a lot of daily listeners to our broadcast on our network, and of course, some of the people tune in from our Saturday show into the Wednesday show, our Sunday shows, our week, every day we're on the radio here at 11. So do spread the word about all that we do to try to promote what is happening in America. Well, today I first want to compliment Mark Andel, who was on the Sean Hannity show on Thursday, April the 4th. And as always, Mark, you were absolutely great. I was traveling home when I tuned into the radio. I usually tune in to Sean Hannity's show on my travels, and I heard Mark Andel and Sean Hannity talking together, and wow, that was a great conversation, and they were promoting the importance of American-made and restoring the trades in our school. And that's really what we have to do. Our schools are very, very important. When we're going out into the various communities, some counties say, well, we have one particular school that is doing it, and we have a total of 200 students in the whole school. And I say, well, I'm sorry, how many did you have before? Well, we used to have 13 schools, but now we're down to one because, you know, everybody said we're not going to be doing a lot of these things. Well, as Mark Andel and Sean Hannity were discussing, it is not the reality. They sold us a bill of goods. And Mark Andel, it's without question, you've been keeping the movement alive and well during these very changing times. And of course, speaking up in behalf of your store and your own life and all that, I really honor you for all that you do. As Mark said during the Sean Hannity show, the store is up to 9,000 products. And they also mentioned, oh, which I liked very much, about the toaster. No toaster made in the United States of America, unless it's the toasters that are for commercial use. If you go into a restaurant, you'll see a toaster there with six slices or so. Many of them are made in America, but the toasters for you and I to enjoy in our houses, it's just not available. Mark, how are you doing?
Good, Mike. Thank you very much. Welcome, Henry, Rich. I know the other gentlemen are on break, but and listeners, Mike, it was an honor to be on Sean Hannity. It started weeks before with some products he was looking for, and you know, getting on with Sean, I'm glad you heard it. I was surprised the people that had called in, and even our store got a lot of calls. Number one, our movement's, like you said, Mike, 9 years old, April 3rd, 2010, we opened between Good Friday and Easter. And 9 years went by, Mike. It's hard to believe. Our team, your radio station, hats off. Our team, we come a long way. And, yes, we're up to 9,000 products, support 500 privately owned businesses. Going to well pass our 900th bus this year. And we celebrate on Armed Forces Day, our anniversary, Mike, the week before Memorial Day, May 18th. But it was nice. And Sean, you know, I knew he was a construction worker. I knew he started in the trades like I did, and I knew he believed. And it was neat. You know, first I opened up with the Made in America Store shirt because China's a long drive to work, you know, and Sean liked it right away. And, of course, a bunch of orders came over for that shirt. But he said our president would like that shirt, you know, if you remember. And a lot of things were passed, but him coming up working with the trades, I think, connects us a lot, and he understands. Mike, I want to tell you, last week I was also interviewed on a local station called Spectrum about the internet tax coming along. So they're starting to tax New York State. There's 62 counties in every county, depending where you're sitting in your house. When you order something over the internet, you get taxed with it, and then what does the state do with them monies? And there's 9 other states that are starting to add internet tax. So that was kind of interesting. And then we ended up with an interview yesterday that's going to air this Monday on our TV7, our local TV station, is doing a big show on skilled trade shortage. And the guy's been working 6 months on this, Mike, and I think you'd appreciate it. I met him yesterday, this James Groh, and he said everybody needs workers. Everybody, Mark, the same thing you're talking about. But they're starting to line it all, and I think it's hats off to you and our team, Mike, and all of us, because everything's becoming front page in a way, everything we talk about. So it's not dying, it's growing. And very exciting time. So, you know, Sean Hannity was a big win, and we got some locals and a little bit of everything they're tying us to.
You know, you're absolutely right, Mark. I also hear, and I heard on Sunday myself, that some stations that offer broker time also pick up our broadcast and use it on their stations because we don't have a lot of, we don't put the advertisements in on the regular show, so it's not broadcast with advertisements. A lot of the advertisements are supposed to air once and then it's done. Even when we do things on YouTube and all, we have to take the advertisers out. So I'm really appreciative to the radio stations that rebroadcast our Wednesday show, because they don't mind doing that, because it's nothing negative that we're speaking about. Maybe we, you know, crucify one person or the other once in a while, but it's really common sense issues. And that's exactly what you and Sean Hannity and what you discuss on your radio program is all about. We're trying to tell people, you know, there is no trade difficulties when we support American made. I don't understand how we went off the grid so far. There has been a tremendous amount, as you see, amount of discussion in the news about trade wars with foreign countries. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? Mark, do you have any trade wars or tariffs on any of the goods that you're offering at your store?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you buy Made in America, you don't have to worry about tariffs, Mike, and we talk about that a lot. It's just factual.
And there's no trade wars. You're just dealing with competitors coming in to offer you, and in your case, you want 100% everything made in America.
Yeah, and we want top quality products, Mike, which a lot of people forget, too. The consumer has a lot of power, but buying a Made in America product is generally top quality, so you're getting the most value for your dollar.
Absolutely.
And it's awesome.
Absolutely. I can't compliment you enough. You know, Sean's been at this for a long time. There have been other radio broadcasters and people on cable networks trying to promote it, but they've been clobbered down by people in the elected offices that don't like this kind of conversation. I mean, they don't like it. I've been doing this since 1999 on our Saturday broadcast. I would keep slipping these ideas in. And on Saturdays, I do a variety show, but it's got a lot of American worker slant to it as well. After you've been doing it for 20 years, people start to say, you know, this is unbelievable. You've never ended with the ideas. You always keep focused. Why can't more people do it? Then when Donald Trump was elected, they said, well, he's not going to do anything once he gets into office. Well, I'm pleased to say, for once, I'm seeing a president that is speaking his mind. I'm seeing a president, and not that President Obama, President Bush, President Clinton, all of them had their opportunities to really make a push to save jobs in America. Instead, they watched jobs exiting the country. They watched livelihoods exiting the country. They watched schools dropping trade programs and all of the technologies. Yet, we were expecting money from the federal government. Each one of these people had the opportunity to put on the record, we want our federal dollars to be put in areas where America's businesses need the workers.
Yeah.
Yet you don't hear those kinds of words from anyone.
Yeah. You know, Mike, this morning I was just at it's our local school, Iroquois Central, and they started a business academy, which is great for students to get into business entrepreneurship and everything we talk about. Well, we've been going, this is probably our sixth meeting this morning, but we got the opportunity to get in front of about 150 to 200 teachers, the staff. And we want to make sure we do that right. So I'm with the principal and whatnot. But we were talking about the soft skills. We're talking about the disconnect, the stereotype. Kids need a purpose. Kids need an avenue to go. The one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter approach doesn't work. All these school, all the things I've been doing even this year and past and yourself, it just leads, we got to give these kids more of an option so they can find their passion, expose them to it. Making something's pretty neat. A skilled trade, though, Mike, we were talking about, it's a degree. You know, one of the teachers or one of the people on our committee, 38 years, school teacher, and she is a professor at Buff State, but she said that you got to ask yourself, what is college? And what she meant is college can be anything you do after high school, meaning it could be an apprenticeship, it could be a trade school. Everything is a college and a degree. So she had said to the principals, you got to ask these teachers, what do they think college is? And I think it was a great question, Mike, your opinion on what college is. It could be any education after high school.
Absolutely. And Mark, they should have 30 years ago attached the trades with a degree.
Yes.
As they do in Europe. We have so many young people that come to the United States that visit, and they say they have all these talents to offer, and they understand why businesses reach out across the sea looking for skilled people. And because they can't find them in the United States. We were talking about that for weeks and weeks. People were saying during the school district meetings, they were saying, to bring back the trades, do you have any idea? We are going to have to pull supervisors and all out of their place of work so that they could go back into the classroom. And I keep telling them, what's so wrong about that? What is so wrong about that? If somebody put in 25 years on a job, give them double what they're making now and put them in a classroom. Exactly. A lot of these people know what the hell they're doing.
Exactly. If college is an educational institution, Mike, why isn't General Welding or the Moogs by me? They all, you're learning your particular trade, and it should be everything. It should have a stigma that you're going to a trade school. It should be a college, and you get a degree.
Absolutely. Like we had the girls on from AP Orleans University, and they went from just being a trade school to a university level. When you get out of there, you went to AP Orleans University. Period. Why can't they do that in other areas? We're hearing more and more high schools are picking up these various trade programs, and I hope to have a guest on in a few weeks that's going to tell us all about what's happening. But the thing is, Mark, people don't understand because their time is so sucked up by all the electronics. People walk down the street with their phones in their hands. They don't even know what's going on around them.
It's funny you bring that up because that was brought up this morning at our committee meeting. Again, trying to get teachers and businesses and students and parents aligned, Mike. We got to all know what's going on and what we need. But that's what they said. A lot of the kids, they just don't talk to each other. There's not the relationship building or the networking that's needed.
There is, you know,
society's changed.
You know, somebody about a year ago, someone asked me if, because you know our building, our social service center, said you should invite motivational speakers to come in and speak about what you want to do with your life as a young person and talk to them about things they are not hearing in the schools. I said, well, I don't want to start a war with the schools, but that's a hell of a good idea. That should actually be done in every school in America. They should be asking the students when they're in seventh and eighth grade, where do you feel your talents would be used best? Everybody has to be brought up with the idea that they have to earn a living. You were brought onto the earth to be a success in some way. Why are the schools not helping you to be a success? This is something I have never understood in all these years. My kids went to schools. I told them off and I mentioned different things to them in the schools that it should be this or it should be that. They all have talents that excel. But that's not the case with most of our young people. Yes, they are going to college. They are graduating with a tremendous bill. They're in debt for many moons. But do they have the skills that are needed by the industries today? When I say industries, Mark, it's just not standing there putting something in a little box or whatever. Today, everything is automation. It's technology driven. If you don't have that technology background, that mind to keep the technology line running, you're and you're not able to be hired.
Right. It's a lot of critical thinking. We talk about soft skills. People don't know, even listeners might not know what soft skills is. That's showing up on time, having want, having drive, having care, you know, presenting yourself but wanting to learn. So a lot of this stuff is missing and it's not taught. So we're talking, Mike, at these committee and board meetings and workforce development meetings about, you know, K through 12. We've got to get this in our school system early enough so we continue to give them an avenue they can choose early, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and then apply their self 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and find a job and then ask that company what they may need more education in or training, and then you proceed with that.
You know, you're right. And Mark, quite honestly, when you go out to these various rallies or socials or cocktail parties or whatever to support these candidates, I want to tell you, a lot of the candidates are there just for the ride. They really have no idea what their community is all about. I still think, as I mentioned probably four or five times over the last 5 years, a candidate should not be allowed to run for office unless they've documented all they have to offer, unless they hit every zip code in the county they're running to represent, because they don't know what's going on. The pollsters say this. I could tell you one thing today and do another thing tomorrow. This is all nonsense. It's taking our time, our energy, our money, and our educational power. When I looked at openthebooks.com with Adam Andrzejewski, some of the things that are going on in there with our universities alone, no wonder the schools have to charge this much money for a basic degree, because they have so many years of pensions and healthcare programs, all this going on to their books for years and years of people that have retired. Tenured teachers are also on my chopping block because I want to know what they're doing. What results have they produced for the dollars that they've been paid? Filling time is not going to do it anymore. People don't have the money to be paying the education and walk away with nothing to show for it. It's just like the news media. I was on a radio program last week, and that's what started about the trade wars. I said to very nicely, I said, there's been a tremendous amount of discussion in the media, especially the national media, about the trade wars, but they fail to mention how much America and American workers lost over the last 30 years as a result of tens of thousands of businesses moving their manufacturing overseas. You ride down any road and you see an empty manufacturing building. Well, with every manufacturing line, you have people that order the stuff. You have people that pack the stuff. You have the people who advertise it. The person goes out for a cup of coffee. All the people are affected when that business goes down.
And that's, Mike, I think what people don't realize, even Buffalo was the second largest or populated city in the country at one point because of manufacturing. And manufacturing, like you said, not only in the plant, the supply chain, but outside, your hairstylist, to your bankers, to your restaurants, the spas, the gyms, whatever, it's a spider web effect. That's why we need that manufacturing leg back. It took 30, 40 years to move it overseas, and a lot was driven by that mighty dollar, Mike. They never thought or knew what they were doing to the American way in that blue-collar area. You know, that middle class has shrank to, you know the movie, Mike. The movie says it best, American-made movie.
Absolutely.
I still love the movie. It's factual, and it's got everything in it.
You know,
Detroit,
Mark,
from the air, Mike. Detroit from the air.
Absolutely. As Larkin mentioned, some of the states and cities are starting to go up the ladder because they're reinstituting manufacturing and all that goes with it. As we've been seeing in the last few years, now that the taxes have been reduced, the regulations are reduced. And by the way, the regulations, tens of thousands of regulations have been reduced. We're still living. We're still operating businesses. Everything is moving smooth. And yet the regulations were killing those businesses. And so now I'm glad to see the regulations are down. The taxes are down on the businesses. And that's the way we should have been doing this for 30 years.
We wanted a leader and we wanted a businessman. You know, it had to be treated like a business. This country is a business. And you're seeing the change. I mean, the economy is booming. All these meetings I go to, everybody's got more work than they ever wanted, but no workers. So that's what's putting the stress and making the difference right now. It's reality.
Absolutely. You know, Guy, as we continue to support America, the country where we live, we urge everybody to look for labels, ask for things that are made in America, and speak up where you shop. The thing that is most important is customers asking the people at the cash register, the people that are stockers and the managers of the stores. The people have to know that people are concerned that too many foreign products are filling the stores, and they continue to fill the stores. And I'll give you one thing. A lot of those foreign manufacturers did the right trick on the American businesses. They took 10, 12, and 15-year contracts to make those products. Some of these product manufacturers would love to bring the manufacturing back to America, but they have 7 years of a contract with a foreign country. How are they going to get out of that contract? That's the big problem.
Right.
That is the big problem. How do you get out and all of a sudden start putting your American-made label on something when you have a contract for 7 years? And some of the contracts, I'm sure, if you don't produce the amount of products that you originally contracted for, you then have to pay them as though you were producing that amount of product. So the foreign merchandiser certainly did a very good job on us. You know, Mark, I want to turn to a man who is doing better this week, a man who we missed last week, and we heard the week before that he was recuperating slowly, but welcome back, Rich Loges.
Hey, guys, good morning, and good morning to our listeners. You know, Michael, it killed me last week not to be able to speak.
You were sitting there listening to the show. And
I had it,
and you were speechless.
I couldn't. My doctor said, "Look, you can't talk until I see you." And then that got delayed. So it was killing me not to speak last week. And I'm going to try to make up for some lost time right here, Michael, with a couple of comments from what you guys are mentioning today. So there's a presidential candidate, Kamala Harris. I call her Cuckoo Kamala out of California. So she's pitched a proposal to give teachers salary increases. Now, maybe some listening, Michael, agree with that proposal. Maybe they don't. But it's not even the increase of the salary that actually is bothering me. There's something else she said within it, Mark, that's been bugging me. And she said that parents and teachers raise our children. Now, that statement to me is basically the same as saying fundamental transformation, democratic socialism, or it takes a village. When I hear it, I get short of breath. You know, I need like a defibrillator to hear that. Because, Mark, I'm not of the belief that teachers raise children. Do I believe, Michael, that teachers complement parents? Do I believe coaches, you know, dance instructors, academic, do they complement parents? No question about it.
Absolutely.
No question. But this idea, the suggestion that teachers raise children is just Hillary Clinton, it takes a village 2.0. So again, there's a line in the sand, Michael. Everybody, I don't mean for it to sound so us versus them, but it's just how human nature is. It's mankind. Everybody is on a side. And the line in the sand, as it's been drawn, and you can see, Michael, as 2020 heats up, that you have one side of the one line, when the line in the sand, you have one side talking about all of these fringe, kooky issues like slavery reparations and let's have multiple, meaning more than two, multiple genders and teachers raise children. Like these are kook issues, Mark. And then the other side of that line, you've got small business, deregulation, like you just mentioned, Michael. The cost of deregulation that we have seen over the last few years, since our glass ceiling shattering win in 2016, right now, Michael, it's right around $30 billion. So what we have done economically in terms of the size of the federal government is we're kind of getting back to where we should be. It's not that, right? Because in other words, you've got this, we went from record amounts of debt increases, which were not, as I said on the show before, which were not all President Obama. You know, the GOP loved spending. They loved it under President Bush, and they liked spending money under Obama as well. So now what's happened is with the near $30 billion of regulation savings, we're just swinging the pendulum just more toward the middle of the direction now. So there's still a lot more work to go, and there's still more regulations that need to be cut. And look, you said it at the outset, Michael. Typically with politicians, we celebrate when they keep a promise, right? You know, it's reason for celebration. With the president, well, he's done it a lot more on average than most politicians do. So it's not a coincidence that you have the two-party industrial complex. They've now figured out that the Trump base is very passionate, and they've also figured out that the president is most looking to serve those who elected him, because that's how politics works, Michael.
You know, Rich, I want to tell you.
You have to represent everybody. Again, it doesn't mean you don't represent everyone. A politician has two main duties to those who didn't vote for he or she. To keep you safe, that's why we're going to build a wall, to keep you safe, Mark. And number two, to ensure that your rights, your guaranteed God-given rights endowed upon you by our Bill of Rights and subsequent amendments of our Constitution to ensure that those rights are not infringed upon. That's why we've set records in the first 2 years for federal judicial confirmations on the federal courts and our two justices to work to ensure that rights are not infringed upon. That's it, Michael.
You're right,
like,
Rich.
That's the line in the sand right there.
Rich, if you look up on YouTube Donald Trump from 10 years ago, 15 years ago, wherever he appeared on a show, he spoke about the same issues about trade and getting the trades in the schools and all. He spoke all about that. Everyone in the media knew exactly what he was talking about during the campaign, and they knew what would happen if he was elected the president. I don't think anything that he said was changed. In fact, when I saw that report, I was kind of amazed. I saw a 20-year younger Donald Trump saying the exact same things that he is saying in all of his speeches. We're not hearing anything new. Yeah, but what we're looking at now really scares the hell out of me. And it's hard to do. It's hard to scare the hell out of me, to be very honest. But I will tell you this. It frightens me because not one of these candidates is talking about how Americans can earn a living, have a dignified life, raise a family, be able to pay for their car. They're talking about what they want to give away. You mentioned about the teachers. Okay, I think teachers should have a nice amount of money that they take home every week for doing a good job. That's what teaching is. That's what welding is. That's whatever you do, you are rewarded for a job well done. However, with the way the standards in our schools have gone and the way they've had some difficult situations with the children and, you know, the tardiness and all of the other issues that are going on in the schools, the teachers have been doing a lot of babysitting. And that's not the way it should be. Last week, I mentioned during the show that a teacher said to me, Michael, we hear all that. We hear what Larkin says about this and that, about the family falling apart and all. But remember, when those students are in our classroom, we have the opportunity to educate them and influence them. And I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. Educate them is the most important thing. Influence them is not so good, because you could be influencing someone on your way of thinking, as many teachers may do, instead of allowing the young person to gather their own opinions. We're hearing that and seeing that in some of the school rallies and this and that that are going on. This is not what education is about.
Michael, a month ago, and this is what I keep trying to tell people with my book, that it's coming out this year. It's going to happen. I don't care if I got to stand on a street corner and bang a frying pan. A book's coming out this year. And I talk about it, Michael. 10 warning signs your child is becoming a Democrat. A month ago. So there's this, you want another kooky issue, 16-year-olds voting. I heard Nurse Ratched, Nancy Pelosi. Remember when she went over the cuckoo's nest? Remember Nurse Ratched? That's what I call Pelosi. I heard Nurse Ratched Pelosi talking about how she's always supported 16-year-olds voting. Michael, I spent hours on the internet trying to find a singular in the past, interview, video, whatever, where Pelosi said that. And I found nothing. Did she? If someone finds it, I want them to send it to me. And I mean that, too, and I'll stand corrected. She said, yeah, but it's not just that, Michael. It's what she said about it. She said this, Mark. You got to capture them in high school. Capture them being the kids. Capture them in high school. Now, if that doesn't make your heart rate surge, Michael.
That's right.
If that doesn't make you need a defibrillator.
And that's what I mean about influencing. That is, high school is not the place to influence boys and girls. Waiting till they're 18 years to vote is not a problem. Let's put that school time on working that you are going to be a great worker, whether you open your own business or you go out to work for someone else, that you have the qualities that are needed by that particular business or the qualities that are needed so that you can open up the business for yourself. We're not learning that. You can ask anybody in our property here. I ask every person, What did they have in school regarding these issues? And I want to tell you, every person says, no, we didn't. We were never asked that. We never had a job fair. How many kids did you have in your graduating class? We had 450 kids. You didn't have one job fair? No. Did you write resumes? No. Did you have people come in and speak about the various job openings that are in your particular area of your school? No. The question I have is, why not? Why not? They did that 25 and 30 years ago, whether it was the policemen, the firemen, or the lifeguards. Everybody came in and talked about what they do to talk to the young people. Maybe they would consider doing it. Do you remember that in school, Mark?
Yeah, no. Now I was at that Alden Career Fair, local school, a couple of weeks ago, and they did just that. They had about 50, 75 businesses. Kids got five hours to go through, talk to them. But, Mike, you're right. They want to hear the stories. If it's police officers, firefighters, about computers like Rich does or myself, and they want to get experiences. They want the tours. We've got to get the kids touring through our businesses so they kind of get an eye-opener and with their parents so they can see what's going on.
You're absolutely right, Mark. Boy, I'll tell you, I love talking to the tourists because they give me an education. And, you know, I go by the age of the tourists, too. The younger people are saying, well, the education is good in the neighborhoods, but the social skills of the young people are not what they were 10, 15 years ago because everybody is in front of a computer or a phone and they don't know anything that's happening around them.
I'm not sure if you guys have noticed this, and I'm gonna suspect that you have. But when you meet a lot of kids' parents, they're lacking those skills, right? And so the chicken, you know, that saying about the chickens coming home to roost, it's all happening, Michael, in front of us now. And for those who haven't seen, you know, I wrote an article last week. It's at my site, Michael. It's on my newsletters, and I called it I said, the Democrat-Leninist revolution is here. And what I did is I made a historical example, comparison, between what happened in 1917 in Russia when the Bolsheviks took over, begat the Soviet Union, and look at what's happening today with the Dem Party.
It's
impossible to ignore that what's happening now, they mirror each other.
But, Rich, I want to tell you, I have a good opportunity to meet with Democrats and Republicans. And in my thinking, for 30 years, they have not done their job to represent the American people's best interest. Both of them. Especially, take for instance, let's look at the immigration issue that's in the news every hour of the day. For 30 years, both Democrats and Republicans had the opportunity to resolve the immigration issue. They could have done a lot of things. The wall would have been very cheap to build 30 years ago. It could have been, you know, we only built, 900 miles of the wall? How about the other 1,200 miles that still doesn't have a wall? If you go where the wall is, there's less people coming in because people can't walk through walls. They can climb over them or break them down or something if they have the right equipment in the vehicle to do it. But 30 years, both the Democrats and the Republicans had the opportunity to do it, and it's not resolved. This should all be past history.
Right.
25, 30 years ago, it should be done. What are we waiting for?
Just comment, Michael, just add that. And add that to another reason why 2016 happened the way it did.
I agree, 1,000%. One other thing.
It's not shocking when you look at it.
You know, when you look at what's happening in America, people will continue to come to places that they're not allowed to without an invitation if they're allowed to come in. Entering a country like the United States of America, which has many long-standing laws on the books, those laws should be obeyed. If I was President Obama, President Bush, or President Clinton, I would say, go back to your home countries and apply to come to the America that you would love to become part of. I would not allow this to continue. I would close the border. I would close the border because it shows that I am the person who's taking charge. If you have an accident on the street, if a building falls down, they come with barriers to block the traffic. If we're getting a flow of traffic that we're not supposed to be getting, we put the barriers up at the border. It's as simple as that, but they don't want to do it because certain people say it's cruel and the children are involved. Yes, why are the parents bringing the children if they weren't given an invitation? Rich, would you take your children and would you take your wife to a country where you don't have a visa or a permit to enter? Maybe you'd have them standing 10 hours to get through a possible line to even be considered. Would you do that?
Michael, this evening I'm attending an event where a lady is speaking named Maria Espinoza. Maria Espinoza is the director for an organization called the Remembrance Project. The Remembrance Project, and you guys have no doubt seen and heard this lady, maybe not realizing it. It's an organization that works with parents who have had children killed from those who are here illegally.
Right, I know that.
Now, look, a death is a death. A murder is a murder, whether it's an illegal alien, a green card holder, or an American citizen. But none of the people, Michael, in this organization are anti-immigrant. Many of the people working in the organization are legal immigrants who became Americans. So it is not an anti-immigrant segment. Again, you talk about the media, Michael. The media is not about news. The other day on MSNBC, they were talking about Trump and Obama birtherism. Mark, they were talking about birtherism on MSNBC later. That's what you do, Michael. You know who the Democrats are? They're like this Baltimore Orioles player who hasn't had a hit in like 4,000 at-bats. He's like, all right, Henry, isn't this guy in the Orioles? He's like 0 for 50. Or something. That's the Democrats. Like, they're searching for a hit. And it's not just, Michael, you take Russia, which is recent. It's not just that Russia was a loser for them. It was a historic loser. It was Brown versus Board of Education losing, where the Supreme Court told Democrats, no, segregation isn't constitutional. We're going to overturn a terrible decision from Plessy v. Ferguson. It was Bush versus Gore. I say to this day, Michael, that election was almost 19 years ago. I still say that if Al Gore could have had his way, he'd be on an airboat today in the Everglades trying to find votes. He'd be on the airboat with the fan in the back in the gator swamp, Mark, trying to find votes. And then, of course, there's 2016, the Black Swan event, the shocking electoral win. It isn't that they're losing, Michael. They're historic losses. So what do you do when you keep losing at historic, epic levels? You regurgitate the same debunked lies and conspiracy theories because you have to give your audience something, Mark, right? If you have a store, people are expecting to walk into your store and buy something. Well, you got to have stuff to sell them. Now, you sell Made in America top quality. Democrats sell slavery reparations.
Yeah, this is another thing.
That's what this is.
But you know what? I want to say I was very disappointed in a certain person who was on TV. I believe it was yesterday. If that gentleman was asking the possible presidential candidates to say that they would give sign legislation for the slavery reparations. I mean, we are beyond that point. We are to the point where we have to get our people moving up the ladder, not looking behind them. None of us can drive down the expressway in reverse. This is what it means to me. And yet, every one of these candidates said, yes, I would sign the legislation. I don't think that's very good for them. That's now on the record. And what does that do for the American worker of every race, color, and creed for this kind of a presidential candidate worrying about reparations? Every group in the United States can surely come up and say, our group was discriminated against. We should get reparations. When does all this nonsense end? When does it end, Rich?
Well, remember, Michael, if I can reiterate this point I've made before, about politics being sales. The politicians are responding, are selling what they believe their buying market wants. The group of people who keep me up at night aren't the Democrat politicians. It's the voting base. And I'm not saying all voters, I'm not saying everybody who's a Democrat voter believes this stuff. There are probably actually more than we realize who look at this and think, well, this is why we're going to lose badly next year. And, you know, I was just listening to Joe Lieberman the other day, and I was never really a biggest fan of Joe Lieberman. I mean, Joe Lieberman sounds like John Adams, Michael, to listen to him now. And, right, because he's a relatively honest Democrat, which is kind of funny to put the word honest in a sentence with any politician, but I think Lieberman's a relatively honest Democrat. That way of thinking is dead. It's dead and buried, right? A little bit of ideological balance. Lieberman said, you know, we have a two-party system, whether you like that or not. You got to have a big tent, right? You got to have a big net for people. That's not what this is. Now, I'm not saying that Dems are trying to lose on purpose, Michael, but they know that these are loser narratives. They know it. But I believe that there's a reason why it's happening, and I outlined this. I outlined it when I made my comparison to the Bolsheviks in 1917. They took over. They destroyed what was in place. The gap the Soviet Union created it in their image. That's what the Bookers and the Kukulkamas and the anti-Semites and all these people who are there now in the party, it's what they're trying to do. And to watch Pelosi, who's been in this game forever, to watch her so easily run with all this kookiness, well, it goes to show you, Michael, that it's the voting bases that you've got to, those are the ones where the elections are decided. It's not the politicians. And so what's our side, though? You see, our side is united, Michael. Our side is united. Our side is united because we want to build a wall. We want to keep shrinking the government.
Okay, Rich.
We want to make sure that we have alliances. Yes, we want our alliances.
Okay, Rich.
Not at the expense of the American taxpayer. On and on and on.
I agree with you that there are many people united on both sides. There's only one thing that when people discuss the wall with me, they say, it should have, it should have, it should have. I said, yes, that's true. But when President Trump came into office, everybody knew his agenda about the wall. I never thought that Mexico would pay for the wall. But everyone knew that he wanted a wall, if only to keep peace and keep people out that were coming here uninvited, that you enter through the proper entryway. He had 2 years of Republicans ruling the House and Senate together, along with him in the White House. Why did that wall not get approved by his own people? That's the thing that bugs everybody. They should have not allowed that to sit.
It should bug us because more than half of those Republicans are identical to the Dems on this issue, Michael.
Most of them should have been replaced a long time ago. And this is what I say when people say they are not vetted, the politicians. They are not. And they only go to where people are going to listen to them and say yes to what they want to hear. Mark, you know yourself in Buffalo, from when you were a kid, how it was and how it is today. Where did those industries go? Why did those industries close? The same thing in Philadelphia. You go to Trenton, you go to all these major producing cities where they made everything in the kitchen sink. Where did those industries go? The 77,000 industries, they moved abroad. Now, if you went 5 or 10 industries, okay, you maybe wouldn't notice it. But 77,000 industries leave America? I mean, you can go into areas of Buffalo, Mark, and say, I remember that was there, that was there. Guess where it is now?
Yep.
And like, it's not in America.
Last week we had Bob Kaufman on from Valley Forge Flag, and they're not far from you, Mike. Down in PA, just outside of Philadelphia, but they took over 12 to 14 manufacturing facilities in South Carolina to make their flags now, and they're using them all. They're sewing. They were all textile industries that left, but if you can make the flag here and make a quality flag here, why couldn't the other ones make it here and still manufacture? Valley Forge, very, very top quality flag. And just when I heard that he took over 12 to 14 facilities that were in the sewing and whatnot that were wide open, you know, they're actually saving South Carolina a lot themselves, right? Well, why did the other ones leave if you're proving you could make a quality product here?
Right, exactly. And, you know, Mark, I noticed as time went on, maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when I was out, a lot of those foreign-made flags were very thin, almost like see-through material. It wasn't the quality nylon that I get, you know, to hang it outside of our building here and also for boys and girls to march in various parades with. We were allowing this to happen to us. They took our shoe industry totally out of America. And guess what? We're seeing now, as you can probably verify very well by going on the internet, we're seeing a lot of the shoe companies that were exclusively bringing products in from foreign countries, shoes that is, are now all going out of business. Because the people are thinking, what do I need 30 pairs of shoes for that are going to fall apart in 2 months when I can buy 4 pair of shoes that'll last me for a long time? I may have to pay an extra $8, $10 for the shoes, but they'll last me. You take a look on the internet to see how many shoe companies are going out of business. It's the same thing with a lot of other products. Look at how many major stores have announced that they are combining, they're merging, they're going out of business, they're downsizing stores in communities, in states. It's because there's too much stuff in every store and it's the same. And it's largely foreign. And the American people got tired of it. Now, some people tell me, I'm sorry, if I can't find it American made, I don't want it on my feet anymore, and I don't want it on my back. That's a very good response. I'm getting tough. Mark?
You know, talking about flags, I wanted to mention when I had Bob Kaufman for Valley Forge Flag, there's a lot of counterfeit going on, Mike, and Amazon was just caught in a big one where they were making the Valley Forge flag, putting it in a box. It was a foreign flag in an Amazon or in a Valley Forge box that looked alike, and then Amazon was selling it. But the FMAA is a division that creates a certification label for these flags, and it's a great company that actually was formed to make sure that the quality is withheld on our American flags. We just joined it, Mike. It was low expense. But, you know, when you go back to Wigwam Socks and Bob Chesbro, the owner of Wigwam Socks out of Sheboygan, Wisconsin, he said a lot of these textile industries were given away in government deals to other countries.
Absolutely.
And it affected his livelihood here. They're giving away textile industry in deals that affected his family.
You can drive down any highway or any major thoroughfare in your own community and look and see buildings that were manufacturing facilities now closed, or maybe they're apartments or something. They changed it around. That should never be. You know, we should not have our doors open, whether it's at the airport, at the seaport, or on the southern or northern border. If I was in charge, I would close down the borders for 1 year to any individuals, not to trade, but to individuals seeking to enter America uninvited. I like people to ask to come in your house. When you open your door, you expect somebody not to barge in. You expect them to come in. Oh, yeah, come on, let's see you. If a street there's a pothole and they close the street to fix it, they put up the barriers on the street corner and no cars can turn there or ride there until it's repaired, till everything is operating smooth again. My suggestion is close the border for 1 year and teach everyone what it is to obey the laws of the United States of America. There's so many people who just want everything for free. They want to waste time. They want to waste life. They want to waste money. This is really not the way the American dream started and should be. Our young people should graduate from grade school and high school knowing what their future is. What are we going to do tomorrow to make ourselves a success? That's why I'm pushing very hard, and the politicians don't want to do it, is start pressing some of the colleges, the junior colleges, the community colleges, to offer a degree for people who are not going in for the regular traditional stuff that they offer degrees for. How about some certificates for electronics, for heating and air conditioning? Why can't you have that you are a specialist of this or that? Period.
Yeah, a lot of them trade schools do the certificate 1 year, Mike, and then you go another year and get your degree.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to start thinking of our people. All these news people drive people nuts. They keep giving them bad news and bad news and bad news. This one's no good. That one's no good. How about telling us what will make life better in America? The great country of America needs to have jobs for its people, and of course the other countries can have all the jobs they want, but we should have a competitive product of everything that you and I use on a regular basis. I had some guests again last week, Mark, and I keep the toaster on our conference room table. It has an American flag in it, and they looked at it and they didn't know what it was, and I said, it's a toaster. And of course, they looked at me like, what? A toaster? I said, yes. Mark Andel from the American Made store, he sent that to us. And I put it on the table there. I think of you all the time, Mark. It's there. One person thought it was a grater. And I said, no, you put the toast here. You put it over the fire. You turn the toast around as you did in the Wild West times when they made toast. That's how they did it.
Yep.
I said,
yep.
There is no toaster made in America, so Mark Andel made us a toaster.
Yep. And you know, I want to remind the listeners, too, buying made in America just enhances and drives everything we talk about. That consumer has so much power to continue to buy made in America products, and you continue to drive the skilled trades push, everything we talk about.
Remember, there's no trade wars or tariffs on anything made in America. Rich, it was so good to hear you. Back to
Thank
normal
you,
today.
Happy to be back.
What a pleasure. You. Mark, you were absolutely great on the Sean Hannity show. And I know that you live and breathe supporting American workers, getting the skills our young people need. I'm really proud to know you. Thank you for being part of our broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 for our variety program, or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. We will have a rebroadcast of today's show on the internet. Simply go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Have a great one.
Have a great week, guys. Great to have you back, Richard.